In Milwaukee Sports Talk Radio, there are the issues that we all talk about. And you who have the final say. This is your show. It's Kim and Lavoie. Judgment Day.
If you've been arrested for drunk driving or any other criminal offense, call Kim and Lavoie, 262-796-1400. That's 262-796-1400. Or go to kimandlavoie.com. Kim and Lavoie, they're your best defense.
Now, the Wendy's Big Show.
4 o'clock hour on the Wendy's Big Show, along with the one and only Steve Sparky Pfeiffer. I'm Rami Makhlouf. This hour, we'll have our weekly visit with Packers left tackle David Bakhtiari, and lots to talk about with him this afternoon. He joins us at 4:35. We're going to effort Mike Clemens at 5:35. He may be on a plane, though, on his way back from the East Coast. It is a Kim and Lavoie Judgment Day. Get in on the Kim and Lavoie Judgment of the Day Twitter and Facebook poll at 105.7 FM The Fan and facebook.com/105.7 FM The Fan. And the subject of that poll, are you panicking about the Packers or actually encouraged? That's up on our Facebook and Twitter sites. Right now, we want to know, do you think the Packers would benefit more from a bad season? 414-799-1250. You can tweet us at 105.7 FM The Fan. That was thrown out there a couple times on a Green and Gold Monday yesterday, Sparky, by Big Show listeners when we opened up the phone lines for a couple of reasons. One, the lack of a resurgence and a revival of this season would in all likelihood mean the end of the Mike McCarthy era in Green Bay, something that some folks are looking forward to. And also, obviously, and this is what we're usually talking about in these types of scenarios, the higher draft pick that you'll have if the Packers don't revive this season. Is this actually best case scenario here that's playing out for the Green Bay Packers, Sparky? Do you think that this could be the best thing for them?
I just don't know how making the playoffs and losing is anything positive for this team going forward. I mean, you tell me. If they go to the playoffs and they lose their first game in the playoffs, how did this season do anything? Right? If you get all these rookie players playing and get them a bunch of time and you win 6 games or 7 games and you end up with a top 10 pick or something like that, I can see that making more sense. Because if the plan already is they're going to get rid of McCarthy either way, unless he goes on some crazy historical run here where they're in the Super Bowl or something, then it makes more sense to not be all that good this year because you're going to fire him anyhow, get that high draft pick that you so desperately need, and get higher draft picks in every round thereafter as well. Everybody always says, oh boy, look at that pick in the first round. Yeah, but you also get that same pick in the second round, the third round, the fourth, the fifth, the sixth, the seventh. So you're getting that pick higher in every round. It's not the NBA draft where it's 2 rounds. This is 7 rounds. So you get the benefit of a high pick in each round. Plus, you have the Saints pick, which is going to be really low in the first round, to go along with that higher pick in the second round. So now maybe you can take that high pick in the first round and then take your second and that low one and maybe move up even further in the first round and get another playmaking guy at that point. To me, at least, not knowing how this is going to play out. But if this is going to play out like how every other Packers season plays out lately, which is go to the playoffs and lose, if that's what it is, then this team would be more benefited from being able to stock up on some pretty high draft choices the upcoming season and giving yourself more weapons.
And don't forget, you already have 2 first-round picks. Let's say,
that's what I'm saying.
Let's say one of them is in the top 10, and then whatever you get from the Saints.
I just said that.
I know. I'm just reemphasizing the fact. And then whatever you get from the Saints, to package those two up.
No, I mean, no, I'm not doing that. What I said was I take my pick in the top 10, top 12, and then I package my second round pick, which is going to be top 10 or whatever the second round.
Another option.
The bottom of the first round and move up. Now all of a sudden I might have
two first round picks,
maybe in the top 15 or top 20. Now I got two, you would think, big time defensive players that can come in and infuse some talent, some speed onto that defensive side of the football, and you still got all your other picks because you have extra picks, plus you'll have your compensatory picks as well probably this year to add to it. Now you can build it. Now let's say they go mess around and win 7 out of the last 8 or 6 of the last 8 and they end up with 9-10 wins. Well, great. So now you're in the playoffs. Now you're drafting in the 20s and you're talking about a 7-10 spot difference possibly versus winning 6 or 7 games. That's a huge difference, I think, and the amount of talent you're going to pick between every round of the NFL draft for 7 rounds.
So you're saying for where they are right now in this season, where they sit right now and how you view their chances to win a Super Bowl, which
right.
are slim to none,
right,
you're better off having a bad second half of the season than reviving this thing,
right,
and clawing your way into the playoffs.
But my whole theory goes along with the fact that I think that they're already convinced they're moving on from McCarthy. And if that is the thought process, then heck, what does it matter? Go ahead. Get rid of Ty Montgomery. Get rid of HaHa Clinton Dix. Cut Jermaine Whitehead today. Right? Whatever bad apples you don't like and you right. don't want here for the next head coach, whatever the case may be, who are up in the last year of their deal and you don't want to bring back, get them rid of them now in the middle of the season. It doesn't matter if we win or lose. I already know what I'm going to do in the offseason, and that's moving on and bringing my own guy in. Well, fine. And that's a quicker way to get to that process at this point.
Do you think the Packers would benefit more from a bad season at this point? 414-799-1250. You can tweet us at 105.7 FM. The Fan. Sparky is there. After the loss to the New England Patriots, Sparky is there. He doesn't see any point, any good that would come out of reviving this season and clawing into the playoffs.
Did you? Well, I told you, but news coming out during the Eric Name interview, Ted Thompson to be inducted into the Packer Hall of Fame May 4th of next year.
And I don't know who would disagree. I mean, I see people already disagreeing with that.
Isn't he still an employee?
He's a Packer Hall of Famer, though.
Isn't he an employee?
I don't know.
I'm trying to
think. Can you not be an employee and be inducted?
Well, no, I think you can. But I'm just trying to think in my brain, like, when was the last time that happened? Where somebody still working for the team went into the Packer Hall of Fame? I don't know if it's ever happened.
No offense to anybody who's in the Packers Hall of Fame, and all of them have accomplished far more than me in the world of football and the game of life, but the bar for Packers Hall of Fame is not so high that Ted Thompson shouldn't be in there. No matter what you think of him, the bar for Packers Hall of Fame is not that high that Ted Thompson shouldn't be in.
Oh, he absolutely deserves to be.
Right. He got it.
I'm not disagreeing with you.
No, I'm talking to the people who I'm seeing take issue with it on social media.
Right.
The guy absolutely 100% deserves to be in the Packers Hall of Fame. Now, Canton, that's a different story. That's a higher bar, but he deserves to get there at the very least, regardless of what you thought of him and his tenure. Do you think a bad season, though, from here on out, would actually benefit the Packers more than salvaging this thing? 414-799-1250. Tweet us at 105.7 FM, The Fan, and the Wendy's Big Show. We'll be back right after this.
Wendy's Big Show, served up hot and fresh here on 105.7 FM, The Fan. Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, Rami Makhlouf with you. Don't forget Great Lakes Dragway Pick a Lane comes up at 5 o'clock today. If you missed out on any of the great topics that we did earlier with Gary Ellerson, you can always feel free to jump back aboard there. And David Bakhtiari, Packers offensive lineman, joins us coming up at 4:35 for his normal Camille Lavoie Judgment Day appearance on Tuesdays at 4:35. Can't wait to see what he has to think about the release of Jermaine Whitehead. He may not even know.
Right now, we're asking you, do you think the Packers would be better off with a bad season? From the point they're at now till the end of the season, Sparky says he doesn't see the benefit in this team clawing their way into the playoffs. It's probably best that the rest of the season goes along the same lines that the first half did. Let's go to Bob and Exonia. You're on the Wendy's Big Show. What's up, Bob?
Hey, how's it going?
It's going
good. Hey, I just wanted to say I agree, but I disagree with what you guys are saying. I think you're looking at it super optimistically, which is awesome. But losing is bad. You don't want to lose. Like, winning is a culture. Like, we want to be that winning culture.
You have been this winning culture. Stop acting like they're the Bucks. They're not the Bucks. They've been winning for 25 years. You don't have a culture issue in Green Bay.
Hey, I agree. I 100% agree. But at the same time, like, we've held that. Now we're, like, thinking about losing to get picks. That's something that scares me. I don't like that.
Listen,
like,
they're not going to lose on purpose. The question just is if they were to lose and if this season were to go the wrong way, do you think it would benefit them more looking ahead than going to the playoffs and probably losing?
I see what you're saying there, but I think it would be bad. It's bad for the team to lose. Like, losing is not good. Don't get me wrong. That's the benefit. We do lose, it's okay. Like, hey, it's a football team. We're, you know,
right,
still silver line. But you don't want to lose. And what's scary is the Bears are right now, they're on the upturn. Like, they won the thing for Mac. They're looking really tough. Like, they're starting to get that culture of winning, and I don't want that. Like, I want the Packers to have that. That's how I feel about it.
Appreciate the call. And I do think that there is something to that, Sparky, and you can say that they have 20, 25 years of winning under their belt, and it's a solid point, but If you're bringing a new coach in here, and it's not a coach with a long track record, and you've had the roster turnover that you've had here over the last few years, outside of Aaron Rodgers and the other holdovers from the Ted Thompson era, all that winning and that winning culture that you've worked so hard to provide over the last two plus decades, that doesn't mean a damn to the guys in that locker room next year. Doesn't mean a thing.
Doesn't mean anything to the new coaching staff that comes in and McCarthy's out. Doesn't mean anything to anybody. Jim Ozarski just tweeted at Sparky Radio, and Aunt Rami is tweeting, "This isn't the NBA. Losing more benefits no one if you're not trying to land a franchise quarterback, that is. But get in the dance with 12 and you have a shot."
And that's what I was just going to get to. For as bleak as things look right now, and I mentioned this yesterday, if the rest of this season plays out...
How many
more
players do you think they're going to cut before now and the end of the year?
How many make boneheaded mistakes that cost you a game opportunity to win a football game?
If you're going to continue to cut players and continue to cut your depth, it's going to catch up to you because you already don't have great depth. And now you're cutting... The safety position had no depth to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
Huh?
You're right about that.
See ya.
But we didn't see a big drop-off from safety last week.
So now... If Bryce or Josh Jones get hurt, then what? And now we're talking
Breland.
About Josh Jones can go run out there and play safety. Josh Jones, last time I checked, wasn't the most assignment-sure guy I've ever seen in my life.
There's a reason he hasn't been on the field till now.
Exactly. Well, now you're cutting guys to make sure he gets on the field. So let's see if he gets on the field now after you cut Jermaine Whitehead. This front office isn't acting like a front office during the season that it thinks that they have a chance to go to the Super Bowl. Just not. And all this talk about Bruce Irvin being out there now and being released by the Raiders, cleared waivers, now he's a free agent. Oh, Sparky, do you think they're going to get Bruce Irvin? No. No, I don't. Because I don't think they think this is a Super Bowl team in that front office. I don't. You're not stripping depth the way you're stripping depth if you think it is a Super Bowl team.
I know that's how it looks right now. But, let me reset real quick. Did Jermaine Whitehead change anything that we said yesterday when we were looking at the remaining eight games on the schedule? Did that change anything? It did?
It may cost him two or three games.
Jermaine Whitehead cost him two or three games?
No faith in Josh Jones being in the right spot.
But you had that much faith in Jermaine Whitehead?
Mike Pettine called him the smartest player he had on defense in a press conference. And what's Josh Jones? He's definitely not the smartest when it comes to knowing where he's supposed to be. He's looked good as a special teams player, but if you're going to try and sell me now that, hey, Josh Jones, assignment sure, because athletically, he's the most athletic safety they've had the whole time.
He might be the most athletic guy on that side of the ball.
Fine. I'll even go there with you. I'll agree. But he can't get on the field for a reason. And now, your GM is taking guys away going, you will play him. I feel like I'm watching Moneyball. That's what I feel like I'm doing. Okay, you want to play my guy? All right. I'll start pulling guys away and training guys till you have to play my guy. That's what it feels like. It's stupid. So, yeah, you're asking me, do I think White is a Pro Bowler? No, he's not. But at least he's somewhat assignment sure. Now you're going to sell me on these other clowns? They're going to come in here? They all of a sudden are going to play better? Okay. Well, we'll see. But, yeah, to your point of does it affect what I said yesterday? Yeah, I think they're going to lose a couple games because of it. No doubt.
Well, the point I was about to make, and it doesn't change a lot for me. I don't think it wins or loses them a game getting rid of a Jermaine Whitehead. If they do manage to claw their way into the playoffs, and yesterday when we were going through the remaining eight games, we all said we see six or seven winnable games on that schedule, and it wouldn't even be out of the realm of possibility if they won all eight. I think we all basically said that. Six, seven, or eight is possible.
If they lose to the Dolphins,
yes,
then what is your
then
stance?
Then it's over.
So if they lose to the Dolphins, then you're going to say season's over.
Well, because the only reason that I would say that is because you look at the standings and the situation that's going to...
They're already behind in the standings.
But
there's nine teams in front of them, eight teams in front of them.
But like you pointed out before they lost to the Patriots, that loss to the Patriots wasn't the death knell in the Packers' playoff hopes because that wasn't a division or even a
Correct.
Conference game.
Agreed.
They still have everything that they want right there in front of them
yep.
with division a game left against all the teams in your division and a bunch of conference games left. And should they win six, seven, or all eight of the remaining games and go into the playoffs 10-6, 9-7, and as the hottest team in the NFC, I guarantee you we're going to be sitting here going into the playoffs as well, maybe not you specifically, but we are going to be sitting here going into the playoffs, and all the national pundits and talking heads are going to go into the playoffs talking about the Packers as a real, legit Super Bowl contender.
Don't we do that every other year on the show?
Yes.
And every other year we're wrong. But now you think with the least talented team,
we're not wrong that they're contenders. It just they just didn't get there. We go and
they're not
we have this argument
year.
All
they
the
have,
time.
They have less of a shot this year than they've had in previous years based on what they have left. Based on what they have left. You just got done saying earlier in the show about how off Aaron Rodgers is.
And then you asked me, is he going to flip the switch?
And then you said, yeah, something will happen. I don't know what, but something will change.
He's
going to
flip
fine.
The switch.
Okay.
He's going to flip the switch.
Well, you better hope somebody flips a switch on the at safety position, too.
And if he does, that instantly and single-handedly gives you a chance to win a Super Bowl.
Because remember, there is a difference. Playing with a bunch of rookies. He didn't have rookies to deal with a couple of years
True.
Ago. He was playing with vets that had played with Rodgers before. Now, he doesn't have Jordy Nelson as a safety blanket anymore. Randall Cobb isn't the same Randall Cobb anymore, it doesn't appear. This is a whole bunch different than what we've seen in the past. And the right side of his offensive line has been hurt and banged up and giving him a little time with Bell out there and Spriggs out there, also making his job more difficult.
Let's go to Roger and Cudahy. You'll have the final word on this. What's up, Rog?
Well, yeah, tying it into the previous topic, I don't believe that we're going to get the correct Aaron Rodgers on the field this year. I totally agree with Sparky. I mentioned this in previous calls. I hope they play as well as they can, but quickly get eliminated from possibilities of the playoff, and they sit Aaron Rodgers so they get the highest draft choice available, which will attract Josh McDaniels, and everything will be all right in Green Bay next year.
Appreciate the call. I mean, I can't talk about next year yet. There's so much that's
but
up in the air
the
for
Dolphins,
next year.
Then you're in? I'm talking about next
no,
year?
No, I just, when he says everything looks bright for next year, I can't say it. Regardless of what happens with the rest of this season, I can't talk about next year and how bright or how dire that looks, because there is a lot that's going to change in Green Bay between now and next season. I'm going to tell you that right now.
And you can't see him, but his eyes are about the size of half dollars when he's talking about how much change there is going to be.
What do you mean?
Why would there be so much change if this team is going to make a run?
Because we've talked about the fact that Mike McCarthy is a lame duck head coach at the end of this year.
You don't think that plays over into everything else happening right now?
Sure it does. Okay. Absolutely. But if they can overcome all that, win 6, 7, or 8 of the remaining games and go into the playoffs as the hottest team in the NFC.
And then lose to the Rams or Saints.
We'll be talking about Super Bowl
aspirations.
And then
what happens when they lose to the Rams or the Saints?
And then it's a wrap.
What's a wrap?
If they lose to the Rams or the Saints, that'll be a wrap on the Mike McCarthy era in Green Bay.
Turn off your microphone now. If they lose. Stop.
If they lose, I'm telling
you. Get out of here.
What?
Stop.
Okay. All right. I like how you talk about everything like it's definitive. It's predetermined. It's not, man. There's still a lot of football left to be played here, and you have the best quarterback on the planet.
Have.
You know what? Have.
Had.
He'll flip the switch.
Okay, well, when he does, then we
probably,
can talk about having.
Probably this week against Miami.
We can talk about having when he flips the script, flips the switch, but right now he's not the best quarterback in the National Football League. Would you not agree with me on that?
He has not played like the best quarterback in the National Football League
Pat
this
Mahomes
season.
Pat Mahomes is playing pretty good. Drew Brees is playing good.
He's a
Hell,
beast.
Matt Ryan is playing better than Aaron Rodgers is at this point, and that team sucks.
Yes.
Well, they don't suck. They're 500.
Up until now, yes.
But their defense sucks.
But if you were holding a draft today and asked me to pick a quarterback, I'm picking Aaron Rodgers.
Okay. Sure.
That's just
I don't necessarily disagree with you. I'm just saying he's not playing like that guy right now.
Were you trying to say something, Anthony Mandela?
No, I was just going to say if you're going to flip a switch, it should be that light switch off in your bedroom, climbing your Brooklinen sheets, and then you don't have to worry about it.
Wow. See what he just did there?
He's positioning for your job. That's all he's doing.
I just want to make sure we're on time for David Bakhtiari. That's all.
Right, David Bakhtiari. That
See,
is
I was
going
to say, don't sleep on Aaron Rodgers. He's going to flip the switch. But if you do want to go to sleep.
Yeah, well, then it's obviously
you could always use Brooklinen sheet.
It's going to be
Yeah, hindsight's 20/20.
Don't step on my toes, Anthony Mandela.
Wow,
you wait your time. You wait your time, young man. All right?
You guys are just all over each other on this one. But this point, counterpoint,
I would appreciate
point,
that.
Counterpoint.
I'd appreciate that.
What don't you appreciate?
Him stepping on my toes as the host of this show, the guy who sets up the endorsements.
Now, you do have big feet.
It's my job.
Brooklinen sheets. That's where you can go get a nice, cozy, comfy night's sleep. Winner of the best of online betting category by Good Housekeeping. Raving reviews from Business Insider and raving reviews from this guy right here. Cozy, comfy. You'll feel better the next morning if you get that great night's sleep. You're going to sleep better and feel more rested the next day. Based in Brooklyn, They're not your typical New Yorkers. They live in the city that never sleeps, yet they're committed to bringing you the best sleep ever. Founded in early 2014 by husband and wife team Vicky and Rich, their mission is simple. Bring five-star hotel quality sheets to everyday life. Luxury sheets without the luxury markup. Most bedding marked up as much as 300%. Their method? Take out the middlemen. Keep things personal just between them and the customer. My Brooklinen sheets are the best, most comfortable sheets I've ever slept on. Brooklinen.com is giving you an exclusive offer just for Big Show listeners. Get $20 off and free shipping when you use promo code SPARKY at Brooklinen.com. Brooklinen is so sure you'll love your new sheets that they offer a risk-free 60-night satisfaction guarantee and a lifetime warranty on all of their sheets and comforters. The only way to get $20 off and free shipping is to use promo code SPARKY at Brooklinen.com. That's BROOKLINEN.com. Promo code SPARKY. Brooklinen. These really are the best sheets ever. And
David Bakhtiari, Packers left tackle. He joins the Wendy's Big Show right after this, as Anthony Mandel already told you. There's no reason for me to even be here.
Joining us now on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline, like he does each and every week on a Kim and LaVoy Judgment Day, is David Bakhtiari, Packers offensive tackle. First things first, I don't know if you saw the news or heard about the news, but the Green Bay Packers Hall of Fame announced today that they're going to induct former general manager Ted Thompson into the 49th Hall of Fame induction ceremony May 4th of next year. Do you guys on the current team ever talk about coming back for any of these Hall of Fame ceremonies to support previous players from the past? Or how does that all work with you guys?
I haven't, but obviously, you know, I've been earlier on in my career, so I think as I get older, definitely will be very fortunate to see a couple of teammates and people that I've, you know, grown close to over the years who do get that recognition.
What about Ted?
I mean, if I'm around, absolutely I will. I mean, and I will actually even make an effort on that end because, frankly, I wouldn't be in Green Bay without him. I owe that guy a tremendous amount of, you know, I have a tremendous amount of respect for him, and honestly, I owe him a lot. He's the one who drafted me. He's the one who ended up, you know, also wanting to re-sign me.
I don't think we've ever had this conversation, so let's have it now. How did that whole draft process work with you and Ted Thompson, the Packers scouting department, as far as the interaction that you had with those guys leading up to the draft and whether or not you thought it was actually going to end up with you in Green Bay?
So it's a little bit of a funny story. So leading up to the draft, I didn't know what team was really going to come after me. All I had was an official interview at the combine with them. Other than that, really didn't have any other means of communication. And I ended up slipping out of the second to third round. I thought I was going to be a second or third rounder. My agent, everyone thought that. So then going into day four, I asked my agent who he thought, who they thought would be taking me. He goes, honestly, it's a crapshoot at this point. So I was on a ride, and then I saw the area code shoot up. It was Green Bay, so I picked up the phone. There was one interaction. So it started with Ted Thompson. I talked to Mark Murphy, talked to Coach McCarthy, and then also obviously the offensive line coach. But one conversation that me and Ted had that I always remember was, you know, he asked me if I have his back. And very cliche of me and very, you know, kind of young and just kind of like, oh, this would be a good story. I just said, not only do I have your back, but I have Aaron Rodgers' back. Now, lo and behold, now today I really do have Aaron Rodgers' back, and I've had it for quite a long time. But, you know, back then I just had the confidence of just saying, you know, wanted to let him know that he's not going to be disappointed with the choice that in taking me. And then when he asked me if I have his back, I just reiterated that I'm going to take care of, make sure I take care of you and with this draft pick and also take care of Aaron.
That official interview that you had earlier, that was at the combine, right?
Yeah. So that it was about, you know, I walk into the room with them, the whole organization pretty much in the room, and they have like 15 minutes with me.
And you're just going from room to room with whatever room keys they tell you to go to. I don't think people understand like how nerve-wracking that whole process is for you guys.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, the NFL Combine is not as roses and daisies as everyone thinks it is. It's kind of like a four-day just killer process trying to really wear the person down. And you see, you know, you hear stories of people kind of freak out, and I can see why. I've seen people, you know, I had a very clean medical history, so I was in and out of the hospital real quick. I heard people had 16, 18-hour days.
Oh, God.
Sitting in MRI tubes. They x-ray everything, all this blood work. I mean, and these are all different teams. Each different team wants to get an MRI. Thankfully, no team asked for to do an MRI with me, so I just did x-rays and I was out.
Every year go ahead, David.
Sorry, you have that whole process in the medical eval. Then you have, like, I had to do, like, 4 to 6 psychological evals, which take, like, an hour or two at a time. And then you have to meet, you know, you're staying up till almost 2 a.m., waking up at 5:30, 6 o'clock. You have a drug test one of the days you're there. You're sleeping and rooming with someone that you have no idea who they are. Mine was, I forget the guy's name, but I know he went to, like, BYU, who's a fellow offensive lineman. And then all you guys really see is just, you know, when we hit the field, when we're running around. Like, there's this whole bullpen. They call this place the bullpen, where it's all the NFL teams and all the, like, assistant coaches, like O-line coaches and quarterback coaches, and they are holding their own little interviews. So you have your official interview in an actual room, and then they have this place called the bullpen where people are just pulled around like crazy. It's like, hey, is anyone talking to you? No, here, let me pull you. What's your name? And then they just kind of get to know you and see if they can find anything they like, they can bring back to their team, be like, hey, I don't know if you caught this kid, but I really liked him, you know, this, that, the other.
Every year you hear the analogy or the comparison when the combine is going on of you guys being treated as cattle, just led from one place to another, poked and prodded and tested to make sure that everything is okay for when you go, quote unquote, on the market. Do you feel like a piece of meat as you're being led through this process for 4 days?
That is the most accurate thing you could say, and probably, I mean, at one point, I remember laying on a bed in this, it was this doctor's office. It was when we were doing some, these other medical evals in this room. So you have to go to 6 different rooms. They basically have 6 doctors per room for every team. And then you're sitting in these seats with all these other linemen, all these other players. And then they call your name, they say, David Bakhtiari, and then they list every single medical problem that you've had in your college career, everything you've ever broken or anything. And then once they're done announcing who you are and what's wrong with you, you lay down on this bed in just your spandex, and then all these doctors come over to you and start pulling. Like, at one point, I had a different doctor for every limb asking me, oh, does this hurt? Does this hurt when I move it over here?
Oh, my God.
Touching and poking me. And I'm just sitting there like, this is totally normal. This is what everyone does to get their job.
Oh, my goodness. So let's fast forward. So now you play very well, obviously, and now we start talking about an extension. At that point then, did you have any conversations with Ted as far as the extension process, or were you completely out of that communication with Ted?
No, I let my agent handle it. I think there's time and place for that. I just, when I signed, I just went up to him. We kind of did it very covert style in Jacksonville before the game, because we basically wanted to, our deadline was the day. Basically, if I played the football game, was the deadline. So we got it done before then. I just shook his hand, and he just said, for the respect of the team and the players, let's wait to let this news get out on Monday. You know, let's let the game and everyone in the game. Like, I respect it, so I didn't say anything until after, obviously after the game.
Talking with Packers left tackle David Bakhtiari, as we do every Tuesday at 4:35 here on the Wendy's Big Show. Let's get into Sunday's game a little bit, David. We talked to you last week after the Rams game, and you said that was probably as good a defensive front as you guys had faced all year. According to ESPN Stats and Info, Aaron Rodgers pressured, that means sacked or under duress, 19 times in that game against the Patriots Sunday night, the most in a game this season. They don't have those household names or first-round picks like the Rams might up front, but they throw some things at you that you're not necessarily used to seeing, don't they, David?
Yeah, I mean, their scheme's great. I mean, I'm not going to discredit their players. They got some good players over there. I think, you know, the head coach, the quarterback, and, you know, their scheme kind of get a lot of the notoriety. But they got some good players over there. Obviously, having Brian go down and the heightened of the game definitely can add some stressors. I mean, they bought an array of blitzes and things that, you know, were – you know, tough for the line, the quarterback, and the running backs, and whoever else. You know, obviously tight ends a couple times during the protection that were tough on everybody. So they were able to have some success. But I mean, you know, out of 19, and I don't know how many times, I think we passed it 40 something times. So that means, you know, he had to 25, they're pretty good. So,
how are you feeling?
Obviously not number one.
I mean, you look at your rush numbers, especially with Aaron Jones, and they're averaging over 6 yards a carry or whatever in that game. I mean, you guys are really doing a hell of a job run blocking and creating some space for him and Jamal Williams so far this season.
Yeah, I think we've had some good success in the run game. Yeah, that's for sure.
Yeah, you don't do it nearly enough. I said it, not you. the other thing about this, and I don't know if you heard this today or not, but the Packers, Geronimo Allison looks like he's on injured reserve, out for like 8 weeks, according to Ian Rapoport. The other thing that came out through Packers press release is that they released Jermaine Whitehead from the team and activated cornerback Will Redmond to the active roster. Did you see that coming? Because I got to be honest, we didn't see it coming.
No, but I think people can allude to the reasons as to why. You got to be smart. You got to understand your position, not only in the game, but also on this team and on the roster. And there's certain things, there's certain leashes that certain players are granted, and you just got to know how long your leash is.
Talking with David Buck. Oh, sorry, David. Go ahead.
Sorry. I hate to say it, but that's the brass reality of our business. And, you know, you just got to be smart.
It seems like it's more of a reality with this general manager than maybe it was with Ted.
I mean, I'm all for it. This is what this business is. It's you got to produce. And there's going to come a point in time where even myself, Aaron, eventually they're going to make a choice that I won't agree with, but it's a tough business. You got to understand it.
Talking with David Bakhtiari, Packers left tackle, here on the Wendy's Big Show for a few more minutes. And speaking of that locker room and the leash that's allowed to certain guys in that organization, we talked last week about everything that went down with Ty Montgomery and the anonymous people within the Packers organization who spoke out about Ty after that. And you had some strong words here on the Big Show. We thank you for keeping it FCC compliant when you were on the air here with us. But in talking to some reporters in the locker room, you were a little bit even more outspoken about it, and it was not FCC compliant. You said it was BS that some people were speaking out about teammates and not putting their name on it. Was that something that was discussed either amongst you, the players, or a message that was sent by Mike McCarthy or somebody else on the coaching staff that type of stuff needs to stop within the Packers organization?
I mean, it's been said in the past that we didn't address it. That's just something that that's something I believe in, and I believe strongly in. You know, we're a team. We're an organization. We all stand together. And anytime you have people, if you're unhappy with any situation among a teammate or a brother, when we are, you know, all working together for the same goal, and you feel that outspoken about it, I feel you should say it to their face, or say it and put your name on it so that person knows. Because then, I mean, honestly, I see it as you're being a coward. And I have no problem holding that back, because anytime that if I do have an issue, I'll say it to the person's face, or I will not be an anonymous source. I will never be an anonymous source. I can tell you that.
So we can't go to you for anonymous quotes then, David Bakhtiari, here on the Wendy's Big Show.
You can join the line of rejection that has happened in my 6 years.
But I respect that, man. I really do. I think that if you're, especially about a teammate, if you're going to speak out and you're going to have criticism or critique of that guy, yeah, either say it to his face or put your name on it, as they say, when they print it in the paper, or we play it on a show like this right here on the Wendy's Big Show, where David Bakhtiari joins us every Tuesday at 4:35. And David, always appreciate it, man. Good luck this Sunday, and we'll talk again next week.
Appreciate it, guys. Take care.
David Bakhtiari joins us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline, which is then... Oh, did I not do that?
Where to go?
When David Bakhtiari joins us...
You. Not McGinn.
Yeah, he did. It's the Bofording Beer Tap Line. And let me tell you about an upcoming event with Bofording Beer at Cafe Hollander in Tosa, Tuesday, November 20th. They're going to be having, remember last year, Sparky, I attended one of these things, a 5-course meal paired with a variety of Bofording beers. I attended the spring beer dinner last year, and let me tell you, it was awesome. I'm not used to these fancy tasting things where they pair food with drinks, but I went to it. I was a little bit hesitant, and let me tell you, it was worth every penny, every minute of my time. It was amazing. And this one, they tell me, is going to top the first. You can get tickets by going to the Cafe Hollander website, or
I mean,
just go.
That's a lot to say, dude. I mean, that first one was a pretty high bar.
If
you went to the first one, you go back to this one, I mean, you're setting a pretty high bar saying it's going to be better than the first one.
I want to go back to the second one, but tickets are already going for this thing, for the second one.
How does that
one.
Affect you? You're their spokesperson. That doesn't affect you.
I hope Rob's listening.
It doesn't affect you at all. You can't bring your girl, but it won't affect you. I mean, tickets are sold out.
It was so good. So again, go to the Cafe Hollander's website or go to the Beauforting Facebook page and get your tickets right now. If you haven't heard me talking about Beauforting before, it's a premium craft beer from the country of Luxembourg, a family-owned brewery that's been brewing it to the same high standard since 1764. So how did a European craft beer get to Milwaukee? It all started at Luxembourg Fest up in Belgium, Wisconsin a few years ago. A family brought Beauforting to share with festival goers and the entire supply was gone within minutes. How are you spelling Luxembourg? I see you Googling over
there.
The way
it came up in Google.
The reaction was so enthusiastic, the family founded a company to bring it to Milwaukee full-time. And unlike other imports, everything in the Beauforting lineup is smooth. Over 250 years of brewing expertise have been devoted to ensuring the highest drinkability. The Beauforting lineup includes their flagship Pilsner, which is light, crisp, refreshing. The Triple, which is strong, yet unbelievably smooth. Yes, that describes me. It also describes the Triple. 8% alcohol by volume, yet very drinkable, very rare. Enjoy it, but enjoy it responsibly. And new this year to the Beauforting lineup is Beauforting Brune, a perfectly balanced brew with hints of roasted caramel and malt. It's the perfect, easy drinking beer for fall. You can stock up on Beauforting for your next tailgate at Total Wine and More in Brookfield or Greenfield. Cans in stock now, and new look Beauforting bottles. It's also available on draft at Cafe Hollander, where it's the brew of the month, Cafe Benelux, Cafe Central, Sport Club, and the new tavern at Turner Hall, right by the new Buck Stadium. My apologies. It's the brew of the month at Cafe Central, not Cafe Hollander, but it's available at all those places. And as always, I encourage you to show me your Beauforting, and now you can show me your cans. Tweet them at 1057FM the Fan with the hashtag show me your Beauforting.
I don't think Casey's going to like that.
Beauforting, it's Milwaukee's new favorite, easy drinking import. What happened when you Googled Luxembourg Fest?
Luxembourg Fest is August 10th and 11th next year.
I know. I was at it last year. That's where I tasted the Brune.
It said next year, man.
I know.
August 10th and 11th. It's the second weekend of the month every year in Belgium, Wisconsin.
Did you know? I learned this little fact just recently in a tweet.
So they got bands and stuff?
From Cafe Central. Were there bands there?
At Luxembourg Fest?
I don't remember. There's a lot of drinks flown. What was I just about to say? I totally forgot what I was just... Oh, yeah. Beauforting.
Yeah, that's what you were talking about.
They provide 44% of the beer consumed in the entire country of Luxembourg. 44% of the beer consumed in Luxembourg is Beauforting beer. There's a reason for that. It's good.
I guess they provide probably 99% of the beer consumed in your house.
Yes,
100% of the house.
98% of the alcohol consumed.
I knew it was close.
100% of the beer consumed.
Yeah, my brother, I brought him that beer that you gave me.
Yes.
The triple ale.
Yes.
I think is what it was, right?
Yes,
sir. Is that the name of it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so my brother is wanting to do beer trade with you. He's like, is he like a beer connoisseur like me? He's like, I'll trade him for some of that other stuff that he's got, and I got some fun stuff over here we can trade.
He should try the Brune. It's really good.
The Brune. But I think he was interested in that pear beer that you had talked about.
Oh, the Perry? That's their, it's a pear cider. That is awesome.
Yeah.
You'll be surprised you're drinking alcohol if you try that Perry cider. That's available at Cafe Hollander.
It doesn't taste like beer?
No. No.
Oh, then I need to try that.
No, it tastes like pears.
I got to try that.
It just tastes like
pear juice almost?
Yes.
Yeah.
But carbonated.
Now
it's so good.
That sounds
good. It's so good.
And I might like that.
The Ramborn cider, and now they have the Beauforting Christmas brew, which is going to be on shelves soon. That's also really good. They got a... For whatever your taste is, Beauforting and Ramborn,
they got something.
They got the brew just for you. We'll hit a quick break, and then we'll reset the big topics discussed on today's big show, give you the final say on them. It's Great Lakes Dragaway. Pick a lane next on the Wendy's Big Show.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.